shining. Look at that.
That's good. Thanks, John.
Stormy weather, so it's good to be back. Feels a little bit out of sorts, but oh well. We'll keep moving along. Going to spend some time in the book of Psalms, and today we're going to start off with chapter 1 and take a look at the whole chapter. We often come to Scripture looking for something about ourselves, and very, very often we find out about ourselves and we find out about things to do, how we should live. However, the Scriptures, the Bible, is first and foremost about God, not you and not me. It's about God. God revealed himself to people through direct intervention and events, and he had those recorded by people, and today we have them in the form of our Bible. And it's as we get to know the Lord, as he has revealed himself, that we get to know ourselves. We get to know ourselves as we get to know the Lord through his self-revelation, the Bible. That's the case with Psalm chapter 1. Here we find out about Jesus, and after that, we find out about ourselves. So let's pray, and then submit ourselves to the Lord, submit our hearts and our minds to the Lord, and then look at this chapter together. Father, we do. We ask that you would remove the distractions. You would help us to be keenly aware of your word. You will help us to understand what you're saying and to get the right understanding of who you are and who we are. Lord, bless us with that. We cannot figure this out on our own. You have got to do this for us. And so we ask and submit to you in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a short psalm, but it manages to describe the life of a blessed man and that of the wicked. Verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Blessed. Another way to translate the word blessed is happy. Happy is the one who does this, which of course includes the feeling of happiness. God created us with emotions and with feelings, but the biblical definition of happy or blessed is not confined to this feeling of blissfulness, a smile on your face. It's more. Even when the person of God has unhappy feelings, they are happy. They are blessed. No negative feelings or adverse conditions take God's blessing away. The blessedness, happiness from the Lord is a joy-filled heart that knows and rests in the holiness, in the sovereignty of the Heavenly Father. It's at rest in the powerful, secure peacefulness of the hand of God. Happy feelings or not, there is a steadfast assurance in God through his word. Belonging to God makes a difference. I am with him makes all the difference in all situations. That's the blessed happiness that the Scriptures go after. And according to verse 1, the one who lives in that blessedness, that happiness from the Lord, does not do some specific things. Number one, he doesn't walk in the counsel of the wicked. He is not influenced by them because he doesn't listen to the wicked, to their schemes, their plans, their advice. He doesn't laugh at sin, admire ungodly people, meditate on sinning and how to sin. He doesn't want to be like a sinner indulging in sin. The blessed man does not do that. He also does not, number two, stand in the way of sinners. The way refers to habits and lifestyle and attitudes. The blessed man does not adopt any of that. He doesn't do what they do. And he also does not, number three, sit in the seat of scoffers. He doesn't find his place with the sinners and participate in insulting and mocking and spreading sin, calling good evil and evil good, and ridiculing followers of God. He is not there among the scoffers. So these three points, they identify or represent the totality of evil. The wicked, they walk, they stand, they sit together, planning sin, encouraging sin, and laughing at holiness. And we know from Scripture that righteousness is the complete opposite of that. It doesn't come under the influence of wicked. Walking, standing, sitting is all devoted to the Lord. So verse 1 is about what the blessed one does not do. It does not do those things. And verse 2 speaks to what the blessed one does. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. The blessed one does not delight in the things and in the way that the wicked delight. The blessed one delights in God's law and meditates on it all the time. And law here refers to not only the law of Moses, but more accurately, it refers to all the instructions and self-revelation from God, all of God's Word. The blessed one is constantly and intentionally focused on God's Word. He loves God and wants more of who God is and what He says. He's hungry for more of the Lord and delights in God's Word. And he meditates on God's Word day and night, which means he speaks God's Word to himself, reflects and ponders on it all the time. And so God's Word, God's way of thinking, becomes his way of thinking. Meditating is not just about this quiet time that you have with God, but a continual reflecting on God's Word, blending that reflecting and studying with living life. So it's living God's Word during the course of a day. And that is what the blessed one does. So the blessed one is not transformed and changed by the wicked, but delights in and meditates on the Word of the Lord. And verse 3 tells us that he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The blessed man is like a tree put beside a nourishing water source, bearing fruit, not withering, but strong and prospering. That man is purposefully planted by the gardener beside life-giving water to flourish, not to starve, but to grow and bear fruit in season, no matter the weather conditions. And that fruit being the fruit of the Spirit of God in all circumstances, without withering or getting weak and giving up and dying, but rather prospering. Really prospering, and not in that silly way that prosperity preachers talk about money and status and materialism, but prospering, succeeding, and accomplishing the work done for the glory of God, according to the Word of God. Success and comfort not sought out for self, but righteous prosperity and glory for the Lord. That's what the life of the blessed one looks like. The life of the wicked looks entirely different. Verse 4, the wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. The wicked are not like that healthy tree, even though by the world's standard they look strong and tough. According to God, the life of the ungodly, the wicked, it's futile. It's chaff. That's the dusty, useless bits of straw that comes off of the wheat. It's of no use. It's weak. It's dried up. Has no fruit, no roots, no stability. It gets blown by the wind. All that the wicked stand for and struggle for and live for It leads to nothing. It's all self-worship wickedness that is all about rejecting God. Verse 5 says, "Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." When the wicked come before the Lord upon their death or upon the Lord Jesus Christ's return, they can't stand before Him and make their case. They can't stand there and defend themselves. They have no defense. With all their wise counsel and experience in life and discernment, at judgment, they crumble. They collapse before the holy God. They don't belong to God and will not be in the congregation of the righteous, which means they will not be with the Lord for eternity. Again, it's entirely different for the righteous. Verse 6, "For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish." The Lord knows the righteous one, the one who feeds on Him, who is rooted in Him. He is known by God. That type of language is often used in the Bible, talking about the intimacy between a husband and wife. They knew each other. God knows the righteous ones. The righteous know God. It is an intimate, personal relationship of love. And God watches over him and makes him flourish. Not so for the wicked. No one watches over the wicked to protect and bless them. They are not known by God, and they will perish in their sin for eternity. So in Psalm chapter 1, we have this contrast between the blessed man and the wicked. And we're probably wondering, who is that blessed man? Who is it that lives like verse 1 and 2? Because it ain't me. It ain't me. And if you're honest with yourself, you'll admit that you used to live like that all the time, and you still often do. And on our own, we are the wicked ones in this passage. I walk in the counsel of the wicked. I stand in the way of the sinners. I sit in the seat of the scoffers. I don't live verse 2. I don't delight in the law of the Lord. I don't meditate on God's word day and night. I'm like a withering leaf, like chaff being blown around on my own. That's me, and that's you. Some of us walk around, we act and talk and convince ourselves that we are the blessed one of verse 1 and 2. But you're just playing a sad game on yourself. On our own, we're the wicked in this passage. You're not the superstar. Jesus is the superstar there. He is the one. God the Son, the Messiah, the blessed one of verse 1 and 2. Verse 1 and 2 describes a sinless man obedient to the Lord. No sin, no going the way of sinners. Only Jesus has truly delighted in God's word, meditating on it all the time. Only Jesus is the sinless one who does that fully. God's full blessing is on Jesus Christ. And therefore, he is the only one who is supremely happy, fulfilled, has this deep sense of all is well. On our own, we are like chaff, followers of evil, destined for destruction, not God's family. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. That's the bad news. That's us. But the good news is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only way for us to receive the Lord's blessing, for us to have a blessed life delighting in the Lord, is through Jesus Christ. He is it. No one, nothing else. By faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, faith in Jesus, that he lived the perfect sinless life, that he offered that life as a sacrifice. His life in place of the sinner. His own life paying the price for the sinner. Jesus himself receiving the punishment each of us deserves. Believing that Jesus received that punishment and God was fully satisfied with his sacrifice. If we repent of our personal sin and believe that God, the Son, Jesus Christ, paid the price in our place, our sin is removed and his perfect righteousness is put on us. It's the most unfair trade there ever was. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21 says, "For our sake God made Jesus to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Jesus' righteousness, his obedience, is counted as ours. And therefore the blessings of the Psalms are ours in Christ. We are blessed. We are that tree of verse 3 because we are in Christ. He is the blessed man. That's why I kept using the language he that most of you caught on to. He does this, he does that, he does this. He, Jesus Christ, is the blessed one. And when we are found in him, united in him, then we receive the blessings of not only Psalm 1, but all the Psalms. Because the Holy Spirit is living in us, has been deposited. This is excellent. It's so excellent. The Holy Spirit has been deposited in the redeemed as a guarantee that we belong to him. As a guarantee that we belong to him. The Holy Spirit is now helping us turn from sin, turn away from the way of the counsel of the wicked, and is opening our eyes to the delight in God's word and meditating on God's word. He has made us into that flourishing tree and is making us into that flourishing tree. I have a PowerPoint slide. Look at this PowerPoint slide. Here we go. Brilliant, isn't it? The left side, that's Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is like this. He's blessed by God, delights in the law, in the law, meditates on it day and night. A strong tree, nourished, yields fruit, not dried up and blown around, prosperous, known by God, belonging to God, intimate, loving relationship with God, guided and protected by God. That's perfect relationship with the Lord. We come over here, the wicked are like this. Walk with the wicked, stand with sinners, sit with scoffers, like chaff, weak, useless, blown by the wind, moved without any control, cannot stand in judgment, not in God's family, will perish. That's us. But when we are in Christ, when we are in Christ, we move to there. That's the good news. Forget that the snow is melting and you can go out and there's sunshine. This is sunshine. Amen? This was us. Not anymore in Christ. We're blessed. The blessed ones in Jesus Christ. As the forgiven, the redeemed, we don't do verse 1 and 2 to stay saved. Now we might all of a sudden think, oh, I got to do this stuff so that I stay saved, so that the Lord continues to love me and the Lord continues to keep me saved. We don't do this to continue to be saved. Jesus Christ finished work on the cross. That is our guarantee. He is the reason we are saved. He will keep us saved. We do this now because we love him. And we can see the truth that he is the Lord and nothing compares to him. And we find our delight and our fulfillment in worshiping the only God there is. We are saved and blessed. That's why yesterday at the funeral I said it did not matter what Melissa did, how she died. She was safe and secure in the Lord. Jesus Christ bought her salvation. And she sinned the day she died, but that didn't nullify her salvation because it was based on Jesus Christ, not on her works. She has nothing to boast about. It was in Jesus Christ. Does that mean we live like hell and do whatever we want to do? No! We see and delight in the law of the Lord. Romans 6, verse 20 to 23 captures this difference so well. For here it is. For when you were slaves to sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. That means we weren't obligated or we had no allegiance to righteousness when we were slaves to sin. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and it ends in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. We're no longer slaves. We're no longer chaff being blown around. We're not condemned at judgment time. We are slaves of God, reflecting God in our walking and in our standing, in our sitting. We're responding joyfully to the Lord, delighting and meditating on His Word. We're nourished. I love that word, nourished. We are nourished by the Lord, by His Word. We are fed. We look for answers everywhere. Buy this, do this, get in this relationship, you'll be fulfilled. Empty. The word of the Lord. Our relationship with the Lord, we are nourished and fed. We grow fruit for the Lord, not withering, not growing weak and quitting, but living prosperously for the glory of God, living out His word. Because of salvation, the salvation of Jesus Christ, we are this way. We have nothing to brag about in and of ourselves. It's all about Jesus and us being found in Jesus. We're going to have a response song, a closing song together that we're going to sing. So if the band would come up, and let me just end with these, kind of a recap of what this is all about. Church, Jesus is the only blessed man of Psalm 1. He came and fulfilled the law completely by living this sinless life. And He offered Himself as a sacrifice for us on our part, because we're all born sinners. None of us have fulfilled the law by living in a perfect relationship with the Lord. But Jesus did. He received this blessing and prosperity from the Lord. And when we are found in Christ the Savior, we are new people. We are new people who receive those same blessings of Psalm chapter 1. We desire and are empowered to live in the pattern of Psalm chapter 1. Not to earn anything, but because we love and worship God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Church, enjoy the truth of Psalm 1. Enjoy who the Lord is and who you are found in the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Father, these are enormous truths that we often forget and we think, "Ah, that's no big deal. I've heard that already." Lord, we forgive us for thinking that way about the gospel. Forgive us for thinking so lowly about our sin and thinking so highly about ourselves. Lord, I ask that you would bless our church family by seeing how incredibly important the gospel is at all times. It's not a speak the gospel once and be done with it. You don't need to hear it again. Father, we need to hear your gospel over and over and over again. Lord, please, don't let us have dull ears to your word. Now that we are no longer slaves to sin, fire us up. Allow us to see more and more of who you are, and that causing us to surrender to you more and more and grow in delight and joy in you more and more. Glorify yourself, Lord, in our lives. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.